Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name, O Father. We thank you because we are your army. We are the people of the moment. We are the people for this moment, a moment that you have prepared for us, and a moment that you have prepared us for. The time is set, the stage is set, and we are the ones that walk onto that stage. And we show forth the wonderful things that you've been doing in our lives all these years. Father, we thank you because we shall stand on that stage and show forth your praises. And show forth the magnificence of the work that you've been doing in us, of your grace. And the world will know that we are the ones who have been adorned like a bride for that moment. And as a bride, we stand on the stage, sparkling for the whole world to see. And the glitter of our appearance shines light into the hearts of people, and they will declare that Jesus is Lord, and they will declare that His grace is what has made us who we are, and they will see us as ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the grace of God, and they will see God in us because they will recognize that a wonderful work has been done in us, and that light shall shine in their hearts. And they shall all stand up, this nation and the nations beyond, and declare that Jesus is indeed Lord. Father, we thank you that every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that time is now. That time is now. That time is now. Hallelujah. And we are the people on the stage. It's our time for the catwalk. Hallelujah. And the cameras are all on us, and the eyes of the world are on us. And we are the ones walking majestically on the stage. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say that is me. You're talking about me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now it's time for us to seize the moment, because anybody who has any eyes can see that there is a vacuum. Amen? So it's time for you to steal the show. Amen? You know, in the scripture, there were people who were good at stealing the show. And they kind of knew. And you see, anybody who is set up to steal the show understands later that actually God had prepared them for that time. Now, stealing the show involves understanding what God is doing and seeing where you fit into the wave of what the Lord is doing, and then putting yourself there. Praise the Lord. Now, some people are meant to be there, but they are slow. So if you put yourself there, then you will be there. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to know that there are so many things that change. So many people that turned out to be great in this world who are never meant to, who are not even first choice for those things. I've told you that before. Catherine Kuhlman said the Lord told her she was third or fourth choice to do the things she was supposed to do. Now, that means there was somebody who was supposed to do it and the person refused. Then another one, they also refused. Then another one, then it lands on her. And then she goes and does them. Now, the other people chose ordinary lives. Chose to be ordinary in this world. Praise the Lord. Now, tell your friend, I'm not going to be ordinary. Because there are places. There are places for you to fit yourself. Even if it was not your initial calling. Now, you see, about 10 years ago when there was Chogam here, some friend of mine whom I used to work with, he wasn't a friend of mine really, he's just somebody, a colleague.
actually far from a friend, he went and asked me that Umuntu wabudi jo afunira wa muchoga. Then I looked at him and actually I thought about those questions because I like such rhetorical questions. Then I decided that actually ordinary people are not going to benefit at all from chogam. But then I also decided I'm not going to be ordinary. Because ordinary people don't benefit from anything. Do you understand? The things happen in the world, and because somebody has chosen to be ordinary, they don't benefit from anything, and big things pass them by, and certain people benefit and they don't benefit because they have made the decision to be ordinary. Now somebody is going to make a decision not to be ordinary. Amen? To know that I am extraordinary. I'm going to fit myself somewhere and I'm going to be there. If a first choice for something has refused, I will be the second choice. When God comes to me, you'll find me when I'm steady. And I say, I will do it. Praise the Lord. So if the second choice also jumps, I'll be I'm the third choice, I'll be the one who is ready. Glory to God. Because you see, this thing, the move of God in the time we are living in cannot wait for anybody, because the time is very short. The time is short, and there are people who have been designated for these times. But you see, there is something that the enemy can do to you to keep you in the realm of the ordinary. I was telling somebody that if you want to stay ordinary, you think about the problems that you have right now and let them be the foremost thing in your mind. Amen? Now, the moment you start thinking big, you start thinking extraordinary, you start thinking owning big businesses, you start thinking expanding beyond this nation, I am telling you, something is going to pop up which is going to remind you that you don't have school fees for next term. Now, that is the voice of ordinary. Praise the Lord. Now, the people who become extraordinary don't do so because there is no school fees pushing them. They do so because they refuse to let the school fees pull them down. They want to see what is ahead. Do you understand? Now, every time, because there are certain things which say that now you've arrived. Okay? That includes things like rent, school fees. Now, those are the ordinary things that the minute you succumb to them, not that we don't all have them, but you don't look at them. Now, the funny thing is, the more you don't look at them, the more they disappear, and the more actually, the higher things. So somebody is there planning big things, yet he actually is in arrears of rent for 3 months. Now, the ordinary man will say that is stupidity. It is not. Praise the Lord. Actually, now that is when you've entered. That is what is called faith. Because that is what pleases the heart of God. That's what disconnected the children of Israel from the promise of God. Because he's showing them Deuteronomy, when you build houses, goodly houses, and live in them, and you plant vineyards, and you drink the wine thereof, and your barns are full, and you build cities and dwell in them, then they are saying we are going to die in the desert. Then he's continuing saying, now when these things happen to you, because he is trying so hard to pull you away from where you are, and now you cannot please God when you insist on saying, let me first solve where I am. Then you are going to stay there, and now your second choice will take over, or third choice. Do you understand? Now, you, by the way, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is that voice that tells you things, big things which are ahead, when you have small things which are pressing you right now, but you choose to ignore them. Now, the minute you focus on them, then now you've arrived. How do you think somebody who is called to be great becomes ordinary? How? Because he... Now, okay. So now, okay, let's say you get school fees, you get rent, you get what now? Have you arrived? Is that it? So now, but for some people, that's it. Then now you think when you are in a place of comfort is when it is easier for you to think big. That is a lie. It is actually easier for you to think big when you're in a place of what? Of discomfort. Because that's when it is faith. You see, the biggest enemy is comfort. That's why God will show you big things of cities and vineyards and storehouses when you're depending on manna which falls every day. And he's telling you about storehouses which are full. Because that's the best time for you to conceptualize it. Because if the things are there, then it's not faith. It's only faith when they are not there and you're talking about them as though they are there. Praise the Lord. Now, what makes people ordinary is when they choose to focus on the immediate needs And God is trying to refocus you to the bigger things. Which does not mean the immediate things don't matter. It just shows that I'm not going to stay here. This is not where I'm going to stay. I am going to something bigger than this. And I know right now there is a pressing need, but that's not going to keep my... I'm not going to focus my mind on that. Now, anybody who has the ability to go and meditate on great and mighty things when they are pressing needs, which are calling for your immediate attention right now, that is called greatness. That is the definition of what? Of greatness. When you can think big things. And now that's what God is. That's what God does. When you dream. I remember one time I think I've said this thing so many times, but I'll say it now again. Okay. I was very, very broke. Very broke. And I'd wake up in a day, and I think I would have like either 5K or 10K for that day. Okay? That was my manna for that day. And I would feed on that. And somehow the next day, another, you know. Now, when I'd slept and one day for some reason, I was home. I was alone. And I was watching, looking in the sky. And there was nothing to occupy my mind. Because sometimes in those moments, I would look for things to occupy my mind, football and so on. But so some days there is even no football, there is nothing good. So you just sit and watch in the sky. And for some reason, I started praising the Lord. I don't know where it came. There was this wave of praise which came, and I started praising God. And I did it so, I got so caught up in it, and I praised God for... Now, in the natural, there really wasn't anything for me to praise God about. Do you understand? So I praised God. Then I somehow psyched myself into happiness and into joy and into the goodness of the Lord. And what? Then I slept. Then at night, I dreamt when I was... There were so many people waiting to see Bishop David Oyedepo. Who, of course, like, in my mind, I knew that's why he was used to be like the richest, you know. I'd actually just read the thing that the richest pastor in the world is him. So now he had been fasting for a number of days, and there were so many people waiting to see him when he came out of his fasting thing. And when he came out like this of his fasting thing, he looked around and said, "Where is Kableta?" Then he said, "I want to see him first." Now, you know you dream those things when even you wake up in the morning and you have nothing to take with your coffee. But that's what is God. So now he came out and he said, there were so many people. I remember in the dream very vividly, he walked out and everybody was like as if wanting to see him, but they, out of respect, they kept a distance. Then he looked around and said, "Where is Kableta?" Then he called me and said, I want to see you first. Then I had a voice in the dream. You know those things, eh? Where a voice which of somebody whom you don't hear, whom you don't see, says, "It is very significant that he chose to see you first." Then I woke up. So I knew that in spite of the immediate needs, there is nothing that is going to stop me from being very rich. Amen? I knew it. Now, the God we serve is the God who will get you and prepare you for a cause, and then put the cause there, and then you arrive at the exact time when you're needed, because you've been prepared for that. Glory to God. Now, some of you, the things, the places where you're going to put yourself, you'll actually think you're putting yourself there, and yet actually God has prepared you for that moment. Do you understand? And you just find yourself fitting into that moment. Okay? And you see, people think, God sets people up for certain things, even for moments. And these are things where either you prayed yourself into it at some stage or what, but you find that you just show up at the very right moment, or you don't show up when you're not supposed to show up, and you survive something anyhow. Now, Numbers 25. Okay, Numbers 25, verse what? Verse 8. Okay, start from verse 1. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, And the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. You know this story. You know the story of Balak and Balaam. Eh? Yeah. Now, after Balaam failed to curse the children of Israel, he gave Balak, the king of Moab, some magezi, and told him that you just, since God is protecting the children of Israel from your curse, you just send for them very hot babes. Eh? Then they will sort themselves. Eh? And you can achieve the same thing that you failed to achieve the other way. Eh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Now there's other people who can say amen. Eh? Because they are scared. Eh? Okay. They invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Eh? So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord might turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle. Now you see there was a plague, and this guy actually comes and presents a woman before Moses. Do you understand? Now that's how, there's one thing doing it in darkness, but then there is another when somebody has the guts to actually come and present it before Moses. Okay? Before weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Okay, go ahead. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Stop there. Now this man comes and presents the woman and actually goes in the tent and starts having sex with her. So he presents her before Moses and goes in the tent. Now this Phinehas man becomes very angry and says, how can this man do that? So he gets a spear and goes and thrusts through the man and the woman and pins them to the ground with his spear out of anger. Okay? So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Go ahead. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, now remember, Moses did not tell this guy Phinehas to go and kill those people. He didn't. This guy just acted out of his own, zeal. Phinehas, the Lord told Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now this man, just by acting on his own, this is what I call stealing the show. Eh? Because he saw that there was, the anger of God was against the children of Israel, and there was a plague and it was killing them. Now he actually fitted into the mood of God, and went, and by doing this thing, he stopped the plague and only killed 24,000. Because in that time, the number of casualties was growing, by the minute. Now then he gets a covenant of everlasting priesthood, which means his children and his children and his children's children are always going to be priests because of what he did before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this is what they call what? Stealing the show. Because now some people are going to have to steal the show with what is happening in the country right now. Because there is a cause. Do you understand? And some people who have been allocated certain offices have refused to take them. And other people are going to take them. Amen? Now you just go and say, Lord, if there is anybody kuzembearing around here, you give me their office. And I will be faithful. Praise the Lord. Because what this takes is like moving, just zeal. Now, do you think this Phinehas man had the word of the Lord saying, go and spear those people? No. He did not even hear the word of Moses. The man who went with the woman actually came and presented them before Moses, before the tabernacle of meeting. The tabernacle of meeting is where God met Moses, where the cloud would come and meet him. So this man comes, you know, with his Midianite woman, knowing very well there is a plague, and then even passes the tabernacle of meeting and sees, presents him to Moses, and then enters his tent. Now, this man did not hear a voice from God. He did not do what he just went, and don't spear anybody. But my point here is, some of you might go and finish off somebody and say, I'm like Phinehas. And then you get an everlasting pardon, prison sentence instead of what? Covenant or priest. But you know, he just read the mood and went and did something. Now, last time I told you very well that what the Lord told me about the ministry of wealth, I told you very well that there are certain people who are going to stand up there and get into places which, and just walk into a place where they will find the hand of the Lord with them, and they go, and they did not hear any voice, they did not hear anything, they just went. You just see an opportunity and go for it, and you see that the hand of God is with you. Do you understand? Now, I remember some friend of mine saying how one time he went, he had a vision and he was in heaven, and you know, the Lord was showing him some interesting things about people he showed him a certain number of people. He showed him Daniel, the prophet, in heaven, and said how he's special because of his boldness. And because he went out, he stood out and walked and did things, and heaven backed him. He did not need any pushing. For instance, he gave him, that time the Lord was giving him an example of when they were killing all the wise men and the magicians. And Daniel went to the king's slaughterman and told him, don't kill anybody. Just make me an appointment, and tomorrow I will go and tell the king his dream and its interpretation. Now, according to the version of heaven, that gentleman was told that that was so powerful as far as heaven is concerned, because he moved ahead and even he had the confidence to say, tomorrow I will do it. Yet, he did not know the dream. He did not know its interpretation. He just went and said, don't kill any one of them. Tomorrow, I want an appointment with the king. I will tell him. And now, because he moved and he did that thing, like heaven backed him. And in the night, he dreamt the same dream which Nebuchadnezzar had. And he woke up and he had the interpretation. Now, when the appointment with the king came, he stood before him and now he knew it. But also remember, he went and spoke to his friends, you know, and told them, his Jewish friends, and told them, let's pray so that we do not perish with these what? Babylonian magicians. So, then he also showed him another man who had that thing. I don't know if I've told you this story. Have I told this story? He showed him another guy who also had that boldness, who would do things and just move, and heaven backed him all the time. And he also showed him the guy died, is in heaven. And he also showed him the guy has a special place in heaven because of boldness, because of he called it boldness or confidence. Confidence is the word he used. And he said, and that's this other guy he showed him was Archbishop Benson Idahosa, the Nigerian guy who died. When did he die? When did he die? Late 90s. Okay. 98, 99. Anyhow. So, and then he showed him how this guy would state things. And, you know, okay, he was a bizarre guy, you know. And you know, it's what it takes to serve the Lord. If you are diplomatic, by the way, you can't handle these things. There is no diplomacy here. You see, there are some people who want to be too diplomatic. There is none whatsoever. This guy, the Nigerian president who was a Muslim, went and declared that Nigeria is an Islamic country. And Idahosa was in the UK at the time. And he sent a message on TV and said he's a stupid boy. Talking about the president, and he said that he said that in 2 or 3 weeks he's returning to Nigeria, And by that time, the president should have rescinded that statement, otherwise he's going to die. And you know, you always said, I've killed many and I've raised many from the dead. So, he gave a Muslim guy, he told him, I've given you 3 weeks to go on television where you said it, not in private, on television, and say Nigeria is not a Muslim country. And the president went and said it. The guy went and said it because they knew when he said you're going to die, you'd die. Now, and you see there is a certain gospel which was preached here, which is so religious. Now, I saw even in, my brother was telling me even in what? In Nairobi. There was a place where they would go and, you know, snap Nigerians would go and put these horn mics in very dangerous suburbs where there are Somalis, Islie. And then they start preaching the gospel. They are Somalis, they are Muslims, are what? So the guys would come and do what? And they put up the horn mics, the guys come and pull it down. Then they put it up, the guys come and pulls it down. Then the guy says, now anybody who pulls down this horn mic is not going to see the light tomorrow. And he announces it when all of them are hearing. He says, now anybody who pulls down this horn mic again will not see the light of tomorrow. Then he puts it down. Then some guy came and pulled it down and he died at night. Then they said, no, that's coincidence. Only when a second one died did they leave the mics up there. Then they were preached the gospel. Now, then they went and do you know, like, let me tell you. They started, do you know we are going to have this sort of Christianity? Because people are busy making laws about what, don't do this, don't do that. I taught you the other day that in Daniel chapter 4, it says they frustrated the word of a king. The king says, unless you bow to this thing, and people say, we will not bow to it. Then imagine appearing before Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, because he loves you, because you're his buddies. Then he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you've refused to bow down to my image? If you will promise to bow down, now usually they will not even give you that. They will just kill you. But he says, if you promise to do it, then it's okay. But if then they said, don't even waste your time, king. Like, this is already sorted. We are not going to bow before your kings, or we are not going to serve your gods. We don't care. Now, some of you cannot even say that to a president of a country like Uganda. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. The kingdom that he ruled over, that there's nobody who has had the kingdom that big after him. Do you understand? Yeah. And he had absolute authority. At least here, they would even have to come up with excuses over treason, over what, all those things. There, the king just says, kill the man and you're dead. He doesn't have to explain to anybody. The guy said, king, let this be known, don't waste our time. If you are putting us in a furnace, just go ahead. We are not going to do that. And he says that these men who frustrated the word of the king. Can you imagine? And the king even himself says, these men. Now, these are the things. This is the gospel we are going to preach. This is why I'm telling you that now somebody is going to be fired here before they learn that we are not going to be put here with some other people. For us, we will not kill, but we'll fire. Now, but by the way, also killing, we can very easily, but we will not. Praise the Lord. But okay, now, so these Muslim guys, they go, these Nigerians, so one Muslim man converts and becomes a Christian and goes and receives the Lord Jesus Christ. So they come, meanwhile, now this is somebody who is newly convert, a new convert. They told him, nobody can touch you. If anybody touches you, just decree a word. Now, this guy, they came at night, the Muslims, and cut his what are these called? Biceps. Like from top up to bottom, like this. See, with a knife, shoo, deep almost up to the bone. So the guy said, the guy told the guy who had cut him. And he actually, the guy who had cut him wasn't even hiding. And this guy waited up to morning because they cut him at night. And he went and told all of that guy who cut him in the hearing of all the other guys who were, you know, chewing mirror and playing cards and what, he told them that, now, since you've decided to cut me, I don't want to see your face again. He actually said, I'm not going to see your face again. And the guy died at night in his sleep. Now the Muslims shut up. And the gospel was preached. The God who answers by fire. Amen? Now you see, when they start bringing violence on you and your cow, then they will continue doing it. Do you understand? Now let them bring violence. Now, do you know that he's somebody who had just got born again less than 24 hours ago? And he declared something and it came to pass. Actually, my brother told me some Kenyan pastor said, but these Nigerians are teaching our young converts very dangerous gospel. Because now that's somebody who knows, like 24 hours he has been born again. But he declared the word and said, I'm not going to see your face again. Now, remember that time, there was a crusade somewhere in, it was in the newspapers. There was a crusade somewhere in Mengo, and what's that man called? Kasirye Gwanga. The guy came with a gun. Now there was a crusade. You know this crusade. Guys are singing, praising, what? The guy came with a gun when the pastor started preaching. And everybody took off, but the whole thing. And the guy went and got the mic and said he's closing the crusade because they are disturbing him. He wants to sleep. Now, if you dare do that with me, I'll tell you, since you want to sleep, go and sleep. Sleep burunji in peace. And then people will know that the God that we serve is not a God of just words. Can the guy took off and the crusade closed? Can you imagine you close a crusade because of such a clown? Praise the Lord. Because of religious gospel. Whereas there is somebody who has not been born again 24 hours, just declares a word. And some Somali clown goes and meets his ancestors. Praise the Lord. But you see now let me tell you, we are going into places of leadership, into places of dominion, where you cannot be goodly, appeasing everybody. No. There is a time for that. There is a time for what Paul did in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. You remember that time? When he's trying to preach to the proconsul, and there is this witch. And now that's the thing with them. All of them are witches. They are witches. They all of them are. Where is it? You go there. Go ahead. Look for it. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated. Imagine somebody who is called the sorcerer. His name. You turn away this drizzle, you man. If it drizzles before I finish this message, we're also going to proclaim a word. I'm joking. Praise the Lord. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now you see how what happens. Go ahead. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. There are certain people who have to see these signs to believe. So the man is there. They are trying to preach the gospel. He's a sorcerer. He's trying to confuse people. What? The hand of God is upon you. Then the man gets a stick. And then this man receives the gospel. Now, this is the gospel that, because people are going to go and make laws, even if not here, even here, they will eventually make them. Where you have to stand up to the law and say, I'm not going to do it. Okay?
Eh.
Now, there will be people who say the Bible says, obey your leaders in the faith and what? No. It says that, but it also says that there are men who frustrated the word of the king. Okay. Let's go back where we were. We made atonement. Now, what I'm saying here is, in this moment, is there is going to be a time, actually, of real steering of the show. Because there is a cause, and there has to be somebody who is willing to stand up. Now, the other guy, because of those things which he used to do. Eh? And you see now some of you people have to try those things. Because that man was crazy. He would be late for a flight, and he says, it's not going to move until I arrive. And he's late by 45 minutes, and the plane has a technical fault. We are not seeing for some reason. When he sits down, it is so sorted, and then the plane takes off. Eh? Now, I want you, some of people, to try it, because the other man had been born again 24 hours. So why don't you try some of these things? Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? I have kept a magistrate in her office through lunchtime because I had to go and she signs for me something. And you know those people, they go for lunch, they come back at 4. Who is going to wait for a magistrate up to 4? The watchman? No. So I just said she's going to sit in office until I arrive. I'd going to pay. You know those things, go and pay in the bank. Eh? That was some time ago. So I went to the bank. I paid. Okay. And I came back. And she signed. He said, hey, I'm very late for lunch. It's coming to 2. Hey, but you've signed. Now you can go. Now, because unless you try those things, you will not know what power you have. Eh? Yeah, so you have to try them out. Because you will not even know when a time comes to you. But you don't do them in a very... You have to be mature about this. Eh? Amen? Yeah, you have to be mature about this. But... you have to try it out, because otherwise then you descend into religion. Then you don't know what you have. Okay? So if I go to a bank and there is a line and I'm not in a hurry, I'll line up. If I don't want to line up, I will not line up, but I'll do it in a way where nobody is angry. Where I arrive and somebody comes and, you know, I know I can do that. Eh? Then I can also go and line up properly and get served like everybody else. But that's because I choose to do that. Now, at other times, I'll be different. And you can do that. Everybody can. Do you understand? Eh? Somebody was born again 24 hours. Said Muslims are going to mess me up. And they were in fear. After that, after 3 people had died. The 2 who pulled down their own mics. And they were. After that, they preached the gospel. The Muslims were like lambs. Because you see, they fear death because they are going to hell. Now, me, I don't fear death. You can't scare me with death. You understand? Eh? Like, you cannot scare me with death. Now, the children of the devil, when they die, that's the end. It's the beginning of torment. Now, you put a pistol on my head, you can't scare me. The scripture says, fear him who kills both the body and what? You understand? Eh? You cannot, there is nothing, you cannot scare me with death. It's not possible. Somebody will say, you know what, you have children, you have to look after your children. Anyhow. Okay, because of that, they will not even kill me. They cannot even kill me because for the sake of my children, they will not kill me. Eh? Hey, praise the Lord. Anyhow, so, now, that guy had a special place in heaven because of that. Then this guy showed me also that there were other pastors here in Uganda whom you're seeing. And you see, when the Lord is showing you something, he shows you from his vantage point where somebody's life is summarized in 1 second. You understand? You see from beginning to end the way he sees, because he has chosen for you to see that. Now, he sees it where there is no time, because in heaven there is no time. So then he saw these people. He actually mentioned 2 people whom I know, pastors whom... all of you, if I mentioned you, them, you'd know them. And he said, now look at this man. One of them started in the 90s. He was a young man. He had come from America. And he came and was confident. He started things. He was moving. And he was seeing how this man would just wake up and move. And how all the angels would run with him to make straight his way. And he didn't know why things seem to be happening. One thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And he's confident. He's not even thinking. Do you understand? He's not thinking about what he's doing. Now, the thing is, the reason things don't happen is because people stop and think. Now, it's so much easier for people not to think when they are youth. That's why the Lord says, serve the Lord in the days of your youth. Because there you have nothing to lose. I remember way back in the mid-90s, I went and had a crusade somewhere in Mbale. And now, we went to the, who is from Mbale? You know, what's that? There's a Catholic whatever place over Maboa Road. Is it on Maboa Road? That side. I've forgotten because it's been so many years. Now, there was a hall which was owned by nuns. So we went and told them we are going to have a conference here. Now, we do not even have money. Don't do that. Don't try this at home. But we're expecting some money later. But we just decided to go and do it anyway. So we went there, and so people came. And you know, when you're young, like we told everybody, what if you're sick, come, what? Now, there is nobody who left there not healed. Because somehow, like, I was not thinking. There was no time for thinking. I remember very well a man came in a plaster. You know this plaster of Paris, with a rope around his neck. He had broken his arm. So now, do you know, now I would have to hear from God to do that. But that time I just did it. So I told the guy, what's wrong with your hand? Now as he was talking, I got the hand like this and pulled, phew, and the plaster broke in pieces, and the man did, hey, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Then I don't even waste time on that one. I go to the next, then to the next, then to the next. Like, I never stopped to think. And all of them got healed. Like, there was not a single time to think. Now, you see, the thing is, when you start thinking, then you factor in what will people say, what if it doesn't happen, what. Now, there was no space in me for when, what if it doesn't happen. Because you know the power of youth. You don't care. Now, the nuns, when I finished doing it, the nuns had surrounded the hall and they were looking at us through the windows. And then people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then people were down, like half of the congregation was down, being baptized in the first time in the Holy Spirit. And the nuns were looking, wondering what's happening. So they came and they looked. They didn't know what to make of it. Like, imagine, 10 nuns, like in the windows, all looking like this. So when we finished, I went and told the nuns that, you know, we're expecting some money to pay for your hall, but we didn't get the money. They said, no, it's okay, don't pay. But I'm not saying do this, don't try that. But they said, like, I saw there is no way they could do what. They could even, now, that day, when I finished, I went. I was hungry, so I went and got, like, there was some car restaurant somewhere, so I got some chai with milk and what, and a chapati. I was staying at some pastor's place, who was staying in a very, you know, some musico somewhere. So then I finished eating. I didn't trust that they would have food there, so at least I wanted to have something in my tank. So now there was a place which they said was very dangerous, where they said you can't pass there after 7, you know the mitayimbwa and all those things. Now, tell me mitayimbwa, like the last thing on my mind was anything like that. So I passed through that place praying in tongues and just, you know, very happy, and I was praying in tongues and what. Then, you know, not thinking, I'm not even thinking about anything apart from the tongues and just happy that, man, people were healed. Then I walked. Then I went to I arrived at the guy's place. Then the pastor was so scared. How did you come? I said, I came walking. He said, that place is very dangerous. I said, you're the one who knows that. Me, I was praying in tongues. Now, if I had even heard his voice before I walked, I would be scared. But I didn't give time for any, you know? Now, some of the most powerful things are done when you don't think. You understand? Remember when I tell you how interpreting tongues? You don't think, you just say. Now, that's where actually, anyhow. So, this pastor, he goes doing things, and his ministry is expanding. People are getting born again. He's doing what? And now this guy is seeing it from the vantage point of heaven. And he's seeing how the man is almost dragging angels with him. Do you understand? He moves and angels have to come because he's moving and heaven is backing him up. And the Lord is saying, man. Then now he also showed him where the man started becoming concerned. Because he reached a certain mature pastor who told him, you know, we need to get an ampoda. And he killed everything. Now the man started thinking. And now his ministry stagnated. For 20 years, total stagnation. You know the church, if I told it to you, I don't want to. Everyone of you knows it. It stagnated completely because somebody got him to think. And he just comes and tells you, and it comes in the form of magazine, kuzimba and what. Now, you know, that was the wisdom of way back. Eh? So there are so many people who have big churches with no people. There's one I know, it's very sad. The church is like from the stages here up to the end, like the other side. Very well built. But on Sunday, you find 15 people praising. It's sad. Because somebody told him that ministry is about building buildings. It's about building people. Amen? Jesus is not building a building. When he was going, he said, the Father, these people have shown them that you sent me. And I have given them your word. You see? These people, these 12, he says, now I'm going. In other words, all his investment was in 12 people. If those 12 people had not been well prepared by Jesus, we would not be here today. Amen? But he said, I have done what you called me to do. What? These guys, they know that you sent me. John 17. Now, somebody tells you it's about building a building. So he says, so they come and tell you, how much did you pay for that place? How much do you know you can do this? Do you know you can buy a piece of land? Do you know? And then they try to put their wisdom on you. And it does not work like that. Praise the Lord. Now, because what they are trying to do is to remove faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Now, here, when we come and pay, we need faith for next week, and we please God. And is there any time when we worry that we are not going to pay? No, we can't fail to pay. We don't serve ourselves. Praise the Lord. Now, you see these things. Now, that guy, then he showed him also another pastor, the same thing. He started out so well, so bold, so confident, doing things, and heaven backing him up. Then somewhere along the way, he became wise. And stored. Why am I telling you all this? Because the powerful things which God is going to do, is going to use very ordinary people, like where you just stand and don't think. You just walk into somebody's office, then you don't think, and you just see how heaven backs you up. And you just walk and you steal the show. Now I want you to know that. Imagine David going, First Samuel chapter 17. When he sees a cause. Do that. Start on verse 28. Now the Philistines gathered their army together. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, now you see this kind of people. Do you remember when Jesse went to anoint David king? They brought Eliab. And God did not just say that he's not the one. God says, I've rejected him. Because of this attitude, he did not just say that's not the one. You know, that's what some people think. He said, no, he's not the one. No, he didn't say he's not the one. He said, I've rejected him because of this attitude. You listen to what he says. Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? You see that? You're trying to think big. Then somebody comes and tries to make you think about the immediate problems. You have rent, what. They are taking faith out of your thing. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, for you to think powerful things when you haven't paid rent, that is faith, and that pleases God. Because now he knows now where you're putting yourself. The only way you can do it is with him. Now he says, now this is what I want. Now there's a special place for you in heaven because you're bold enough to think beyond where your circumstances are. Now, so he says, with whom did you leave those few sheep? Now, do you see the attitude with which he's saying that? At least he would say, with whom did you leave those sheep? But even has to emphasize that there are few sheep. No wonder God said, I've rejected him because I don't see the way man sees. Because he was tall and handsome, the Bible says. Like me. Okay. Especially the tall bit. Okay. And why did you come down here? I said that so that you know I'm joking. Okay. Because the other one you might think I'm serious. Anyway, never mind. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Eliab's anger was aroused against David and he said, why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now, you see, who has the pride and the insolence of heart? It's actually Eliab. Do you know how people see in other people what they have themselves? Eh? That's why Jesus says, I do not, you know, just be told to somebody to remove a speck from their eye when you have a log. Why does he think everyone who is seeing a speck has a log? Let me tell you, everybody who sees what is wrong with other people has something wrong with them. Eh? Do you understand? I'll give you an example. You see Keita here, he will never go and find somebody and say, man, you've put on a lot of weight, you look terrible. Never. Why? Because weight is not his struggle. Eh? I'm giving an example. Now, but you know what I'm saying? It's only those who have also had their own struggles in that area are the ones who see who is putting on weight. But people who don't have those struggles, they have no time for that. Even if you put on weight, they will never see it. Because they are not in that area. That's not their struggle. So when somebody says, you know, the church is full of what? Then you know that person has a problem. That problem they are saying, because they are seeing through their, it's like they are putting on shades. If you put on blue shades, you'll see everything blue, right? I remember one time in a church, we told people that, Katusavile kanisa. Then Hindu people don't want to pray slowly. And the scripture says even a fool is considered wise if he keeps his what? If he keeps mum. So this guy starts. And you know, the ones who pray rubbish are the ones who pray loudest. Mukama! Can he say you do wenzi? No mukama! De che! Buri chimucho na chiote! So I said, stop. So I told him that. Do you notice that the church is the bride of Christ? Yeah? How can you stand and start telling somebody how his wife is very bad, looks ugly and what, and you think the person will receive you well? There is nothing of that's not prayer. Jesus sees his bride as perfect. Now, for if you're seeing of Wenzi and of Kaba, it's like coming and telling, you know, Pastor Rego, that your wife has mbariga, what? He will punch you. Now, thank God Jesus doesn't punch. Otherwise, so I told him now, that's not what the Bible... Do you notice that in the scripture, even in the book of Corinthians, Paul says, I thank God for you because you fall short in no gift. Yet ahead he's going to tell them that there's some guy who is sleeping with his wife, with his father's concubine. But you see, the Holy Spirit is just by saying, man, you look good. Now, if you are seeing anything else apart from good, those are your problems. But he says, now, I said, but Paul. Then ahead in verse chapter 5, he says there is immorality which is not even stated among non-believers. But at the beginning he says, you're so good that you come short in no gift. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is Jesus' valuation of his church. He's not talking about a perfect church. They are like you. They are imperfect. But this is for him, this is what he sees. Can you imagine? This is the same book where he says in chapter 5. You got chapter 5, you see? It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. But at the beginning, he says, you're perfect. Praise the Lord. So, now that guy shut him up, and told him, now pray slowly. Because your prayers are terrible. Anyhow, what I've lost Mulamo again. What was I saying? Eliab. Uh-huh, let's go back to Eliab. Eh? As I'm about to finish. Eh? Eh. So you've come down to see the battle. Sorry, Eliab, he has actually come to win the battle, which you have failed to win for 40 days. Amen? Eh, okay. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Eh? Is there not a what? Yes. In this country, I'm telling you, there is a cause. There is a cause. Now, when I was, like, you know, I was talking to somebody who I was away, and I was seeing, I was moving around, you know, Nairobi and seeing how different. You just spend 1 year without going there, and everything is different. Huh? Then I also saw something which shocked me. There are people who built next to a river, against the plan of the city. 4-story buildings. They came and destroyed them. Very powerful buildings. And I was saying, what? So there are places where actually laws matter. And the Indian who owns the building was saying, man, this is over how many million, whatever, wasted. Then they were saying, there was even a Nakumat stall. Eh? Nakumat, whatever, supermarket. They just tell you have until June 1st. Then they keep quiet. Then you go to court to do what they say, June 1st. At 6 a.m., the bulldozers come. I was seeing it on the news and I was in shock. And you know, they are bulldozing, blue band is falling, those ends, bread. Man, then I was in shock. Like a building right next to Westgate Mall, like right next there. And I'm saying, then I'm seeing a bam. You know those big things? Bam, then the building falls from up. I said, man, these people have a city. Eh? For us, we have a slum. But the Lord told me that he's going to restore the years that the locust has eaten. Thank God. Like, by the way, let me tell you, eh? Because I was even talking to some relative of mine whose job in... He works for UN and he moves around almost all African cities. He told me every African city, you go there after 6 months and there is a big change. Like the whole continent is moving except us. And the guy was telling me, like, you know, he comes here because he works there. He can spend 2 years without coming here. And he says, you come and the place has become even more slummy. Now you go to... Now, you know, I used to move in some of these cities, eh? And I'm telling you, there are capitals outside, especially in West Africa, which were terrible, like 10 or 15 years ago. Terrible. Where you'd just be there and thank God for Kampala. Eh? I was in an airport in Dakar. So, no air conditioning. No air conditioning. No benches for waiting, no what. But I'd never seen something so grim. You think Entebbe is bad? Eh? Until you've been there. Now, then there was this American lady, girl actually, young girl, who her transit through that airport was 23 hours. 23 hours. Mine was like 6 hours, but they looked like 6 days. Like, you know, terrible people. First of all, okay. Now I'm telling you a true story. I went and asked for a cup of coffee, and the guy put sugar using his fingers. I'm telling you the truth. Damn. And then, the worst part is afterwards, the guy disappeared and went to wash. He was a Muslim. And then he came back and put his what? And then I said, I'm telling you, I was with some guy who is from Kenya, who was a journalist also. The guy told me, man, these guys make you laugh home. Like, now I looked at the other chick, 23 hours. She just sat down like this, crossed her leg, you know, took off, you know, just remained in a t-shirt because it's very hot, eh? Very hot. And then started her countdown, 23 hours to the flight taking her. She was going to, I asked her, she was going to the Gambia, Banjul. 23 hours. I said, let me see, when is your thing? Like, it was like, you know, when you arrive at 7 p.m. Eh? And your flight, and a short flight, it's about a few hours, probably an hour and a half from Dakar to the Gambia, is you arrive at 7 p.m. and 6 p.m. is the next day is when you're supposed to leave. 23 hours in that airport. Man. But now this guy is telling me that now those countries, they have flown past us. You. For us, we are still here. Eh? You go there, you find they have done runways, the cities. Do you know that the only city almost in all this place which has problems with roads is Kampala? Other places, the roads are sorted. Other things, not. But roads sorted. So, when I looked at that, I said, God, even Nang, now we've wasted time. Eh? Then he told me, I'll restore the years that the locust has eaten. Praise the Lord. Because we're a special nation, and because we've been chosen for a special purpose, it will happen so fast. Praise the Lord. And the years that have been wasted, you know, time is governed by God. And you see, I want you to know that faith, when you believe God, even time is, you know that lady in Matthew chapter 10, the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 10, start from verse 15. Eh? Go back. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, sorry. Uh-huh. Verse 10. Okay, go ahead. You go. It's somewhere down there. Find that woman. Okay, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, lady, it is not yet your time. Your time is going to come when I'm, you know, crucified. But now it's not yet your time. Okay? Go ahead. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that day onwards. Okay? Now, a dog, you know, she comes, give it to little dogs. She said, yeah, even the dogs eat. But you see what she did because of her faith, she messed up God's timetable. Hmm? It wasn't her time yet, but she got her miracle before her time. Praise the Lord. Now, these things, we are going to mess up the timetable. See, people who think they are ahead of us, suddenly they will find we are ahead of them. Eh? Amen? And by the way, I'm not just telling you that. Eh? Like, suddenly you'll find that we are ahead of them because of the hand of God. Now also, 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. People love life. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this, that after Hezekiah, the next king of Judah was Manasseh, who was the most wicked king. His son, Hezekiah, walked faithfully before God. But his son was the exact opposite. The scripture says nobody did evil like him. And he is the one who triggered the judgment that eventually came on the kingdom of Judah when they were attacked by Babylon and destroyed Manasseh and the son of Hezekiah. Now, when God was telling Hezekiah that he's supposed to die, the sins of Judah had accumulated, if you look at this, and the time of judgment was there. But it could not happen when Hezekiah is still alive, because Hezekiah had been, walking after the Lord. So Hezekiah asks God to mess up the time, the time zones, and stay the judgment of Judah. Because after Manasseh, his son, it came. So God said, okay, I will stay the judgment for an extra 15 years. Okay? Because he's in charge of time. Okay, now, go ahead. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Go ahead. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And then Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees? In other words, shall it hasten to judgment or go back and give more time before the judgment of Judah? Now, then Hezekiah answered and said, it is an easier thing for the shadow to go down. In other words, to go in the way it is, just a bit faster. No, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down on the sandal of Ahaz. In other words, the sun was, you understand that, eh? So he took it back and stayed the judgment. Praise the Lord. Now these people who are ahead of us 15 years, they shall find us 15 years ahead of them, in a time not so far away from now. Praise the Lord. Because God has favored our cause. And the Lord is going to restore the years that have been wasted. And make no mistake, years have been wasted. But you are the person that God is saying, is there not a cause? Okay? David says, is there not a cause? Let's go back there and I end in that place. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Now, there is a cause in business. There is a cause in health. There is a cause in politics. There is a cause in every area. There is a cause. Do you understand? Now, somebody has to stand up and see the cause. And now, this is not that I'm a preacher. For me, my work is to preach and so on. Even a preacher, God can get you and take you away from there and make you what? Don't you remember, what's he called? Amos, who says he was a farmer. And because God needed a prophet, he just picked him up from farming and made him a prophet. Okay? Now, some people, God is going to pick you up from being a prophet to being a politician. Because there is a cause. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then maybe somebody who is supposed to occupy that place has decided not to do it, because he sees himself as a small person. Go ahead. Okay, is there not a cause? Remember the other woman, the Phoenician woman, whom they called a dog, and she said, I will get my miracle. Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. Go ahead. Like, go to verse 35. Verse 35. I went out after it and... Okay, go ahead. Like verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only youth, ruddy and good looking. Okay? So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog? The other woman, they called her a dog. She said, no problem. Here, I want the crumbs. Now this one says, am I a dog? The next thing, his head is off. Okay? Now, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, is there not a cause? Now, David did something, which I'm going to end with here. And the Philistine cast David by his gods. Now, I want you to notice this. This is where the people of the world have sometimes had an advantage over us. Because we go with presumption. to take on our battles with presumption. So if you're a Goliath and you're 9 feet tall, 6 cubits, 9 feet tall, that's taller than any man whom you've known, including those NBA basketball stars who are only 7'5", 7.5 at most. 9 feet tall, and you have 6 feet and 6 fingers, and you have a shield which somebody is carrying ahead of you. Are you going to call upon your gods? If you're a Christian, mostly you say, no, I can handle this. I don't need God. Then you get beaten. But you see, this man knows this. He's fighting against a 17-year-old. He has all the advantages in the natural, but he still curses him by his gods. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you apply for the same job with somebody who is an unbeliever. For him, he goes and actually does certain things. For you go there with a head of presumption. Yet you have more power, but you don't know how to use it. Huh? You don't know. Let me tell you, there's something about the people of that world where they have little power, but they know how to maximize it. You understand? I remember there was this prophet, some guy called John Paul Jackson. So they would have a meeting of spiritists. Some of them would be psychics and what. So for him, he would go there to interpret dreams. And like there would be, people from all sides, but people who are involved in spiritual things. So for him, he would go there and put a signpost to interpret dreams. That was his specialty. You know the guy who was on Desta, John Paul Jackson. He passed on. He's with the Lord right now. A good prophet. Now, so when the guys came, so he saw some guy who was a psychic, also had his stall. So he said, let me go and preach to this guy the gospel. So he went to the psychic. So he arrived at the psychic's stall and the psychic said, I think I saw you somewhere. Haven't I seen you somewhere? Then he said, why, where? You've not seen me anywhere. Then he said, I think I saw you. Did you attend Catherine Kuhlman's crusade in some place? He said, yes, I was there. He said, yeah, I saw you there. Then this guy says, okay, now that's a good place to start. So he said, wasn't it wonderful? Then he said, yeah, man, it was wonderful. Then the psychic is saying, man, it was powerful. Then this guy said, man, the healings were very powerful. Then the psychic said, forget about the healings. Did you see the way all the angels would rush in a certain direction when she points there? And the guy hadn't seen any angels. Now, a psychic is seeing in the spirit. The guy said, man, okay, the healing is one thing. But when she would say, somebody is being healed there. The guy said, all the angels would just rush in that place. They said, Now, you imagine a prophet with a psychic, and the psychic has messed him up. Now, he went to preach the gospel. He ended up just listening. Tell me, and what did the angels do? Now, the guy is seeing in the spirit, you're not. So, anyhow, okay. Now, those guys know how to use their thing. Okay. And the Philistine cast David by his gods. Go ahead. And the Philistines say to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, this is very important. Remember, both of them actually say this. You have to state your cause. This is what he's going to do. I am going to be the MD of that company. It has to be said. Okay, it can't take effect unless you speak it and speak it as your aim. I am going to be the president of this nation. And you say it and it is stated in the spiritual realm and it is put there that this is what this man is planning to do. Go ahead. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head off from you. Now remember, now David is also saying things before they come to pass. Do you think you're scared? Probably. But he states it and says, today I am coming to you in the name of God, and I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to feed your body too. And he actually, both of them state their cause. You see, you don't just go there and say, I'm going to. No, you have to state something and say, I'm going to own this business. I'm going to be the biggest person in this business in the world. And state it, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, there is a cause. And remember, maybe there's somebody who is supposed to do it, but he's sleeping. And now God says, okay, if you want it, it is yours. Amen? And the world be so, and the earth, the carcasses And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now I'm telling you this, somebody, when you're called to go and do something, okay, you have to come like David, saying, I do not come on my own, you know, I come representing a kingdom. Do you understand? For instance, if the Lord told, let's say, okay, me, that I'm going to be the president of this nation. Now, if I went and compared myself with the current president, I would be intimidated. But if I go and compare my kingdom to his, I know he's my bread. Do you understand? So I'm not representing Kableta. I'm representing the kingdom of God. Now, you tell me which kingdom you're representing, and let's see which kingdom is superior. Now, you see, I take it out of me and put it on my kingdom. Now, suddenly, by stating that, the whole armies of heaven have to back me up because their reputation depends on me. Do you understand? But if I go as myself, if they hammer me, they have hammered me. And in any case, I cannot go there because I will feel intimidated by him. But if I go and say, I am coming here representing the kingdom of God, I'm the man from the kingdom of God, then suddenly I will not feel inferior because I know his kingdom is inferior to mine. And I will know those who are with him are far less than those who are with me. Praise the Lord. And I know that there is a kingdom backing me, and that kingdom's reputation is based on my success. Then I put myself in a path where I can't fail. Amen? Because now if I fail, I'll be shaming a kingdom. Now, so David comes and says, I come. Of course, there must have been some fear in him. You can't go and approach a man like that when you're 17 years. But he says, I come here representing what? And you state your case and say, now, whose armies you've defied. Now, today I'm going to do this. So I come here representing the kingdom of God. And today I'm going to be the president. Okay, if not today, tomorrow, something like that. I'm giving. Then I say, I'm representing the kingdom of God. Now there are people who are representing fake kingdoms. Okay? And I told you, remember when I told you here the other time about that guy whom they beat up? Remember when I told you how fake he is? But some of you don't listen to me. You remember what I told you? Like fake, like the guy. And you see, some people don't. Let me tell you, in 2008, when this whole Obama thing came up, I was caught in the euphoria of it. And then when I saw how deceived I had been, I said, never again. Now I can smell the devil from a distance. Like, you cannot fool me in those things. Now, the first time I saw that guy, and he wins a seat, one of so many by-elections, then the whole media is what, his wife is what, then what, I knew this thing. Then he was given 30 minutes on Al Jazeera. 30 minutes. Then the next time he's meeting Obama, he's going to whatever, the school of what, I knew now this one is the devil's chosen. The devil's chosen. Now, I told you here, I was telling you from just observation. Now you heard it from prophet, from the prophetic. Me, I just told you from observation. And it's so easy for you, even if you're not prophet, even so easy for you to observe. So I told you that guy is very, very, very dark. Extremely dark. Extremely dark. And by the way, if he even ever became president, you'd long for the days of Museveni. I'm telling you, as a believer. And you see those people have put Bill Gates, what? No, those are the things. You just observe. Watchmen, be watchers. So even if something is not revealed to you in the spirit, you can just observe and see it. The Bible says watch and pray and see that this man, this guy, when there are some people, they back him, then what? Then suddenly there's a lot of media now. Do you know how many people, how big the clamor is across the world for Israelis? They want Uganda. You think it's only God who wants Uganda? It's also the devil also wants Uganda. But we know who is going to take it. And why does he want Uganda? Because God wants it. Praise the Lord. Okay. So now you're going to go somewhere in the name of the kingdom of God. And come and state your case. I have come here representing the kingdom of God. Now state your kingdom and we see which one is, you know, which one is superior to the other. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak in tongues now. Rika marazante rebeshilo korobazia mashiko kromozanta rebeshe. Go on. I want everybody to just continue praying for what God has in store for you. And which, where you are going to stand, which cause you are going to win. And just continue to know it, to know the, see the path, see the path. See the path. Rishala brazinto robo shike brazita. Rila klebazito robo shoko kromozon torbo shela brazita. But there's a move towards politics. There's a move towards politics and where God is presenting people who, some of them least expected it. And you step in a place and people behave as if they've been waiting for you. Because the hand of the Lord is upon you. Shake brazanta la bakara sido mbozonto roshe la maraz. Hosanide,
hosanide, shiti bacho, netendoyo, orikana, rikusi kusika, buli.
Continue to pray in tongues, everybody. I'm seeing somebody who either you or your relative is going to have like an operation for an ear. Who is that? Hania, you come. It's you, Is it you? Sorry? I've told who?
They told me about her. 2 days back.
Who is going to?
It's actually is by my niece's aunt. My niece's aunt. Yeah. My niece's aunt, actually. My nephew. Yeah, nephew. Yeah, she's going to be operated.
She's going to be operated.
Yeah.
It's a lady.
Yeah, she's a lady.
How old is she?
She's around 60 years.
Yeah?
She's about 60 years. 60.
60?
Yeah.
She's 60 and she's your niece?
No, she's my auntie's. My nephew's aunt, actually.
Who's called Eve?
Eve. She's a friend of mine. She was a friend of mine.
Anna. She was a friend of mine. Okay. Let's pray for her. That person we seek, Shika Prasantala Bashirava. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, there is a standing for her.
Yeah.
There's a healing. She's healed. In Jesus' name, she's healed. She's healed. And you'll go and she'll not have the operation. They'll find it's not necessary to have the operation. In the name of Jesus. What's her name?
Actually, yeah. I was from the village, so I didn't get the name.
You don't know her name?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you just find out about her, but she's healed. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you'll give us that testimony. Amen. Okay, let's just get your offering. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person who connects here in the Jesus' name. Father, we speak. We speak an financial anointing in the name of Jesus. We speak a financial anointing in Jesus' name. And speak openings, openings in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Rashake Brazanta, Vashiram Brazanta, Mosham, Rikarazin, or Moshek Ramazanta, Masharam. Now, there's somebody else who. Now, this is strange because it involves a man, and it's as if there was somebody who was supposed to be with him or who was with him, but somehow, by the design of God, you're supposed to steal the show. Now, don't think about this religiously, but I see that the other thing was, the other person is confused, and now I see that this person who is supposed to steal the show is full of guilt, and my work here now is to tell you to get the guilt out of the way, okay? To get the guilt out of the way. You see, there are some people who are like Vashti, who have to make way for Esther. We are not the one who wrote those stories in the Bible, you understand? If somebody does not understand their position, then something else happens. God is not going to be held captive by something. And the person I'm talking about is somebody who has a ministry, and the person who is was supposed to do it seems to think that she should turn the course of that person away from ministry into something secular, because that's what she thinks should be done. But the purpose of God has to stand, even if it means removing certain people out of the way. Now, so if you're that person, just take the guilt out of you. Just don't be guilty. If it is of God, it is of God. God is the standard of righteousness. Amen? Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the financial anointing. I thank you because there are changes of levels, changes of places of residence in the name of Jesus. Now, the anointing to move your place is here. So if you felt that you wanted to change your place of abode, your residence, your place of your residence, and for somebody actually a workplace where your office is, and you think you've been thinking your office is not in the right place, I see now that there is a move for you to change your office and go to a place which is more dignified. And the Lord says that you shall get bigger clientele when you move that place in the name of Jesus. Shike brazinta bashil lakila borzita makara bashit romorzite de shika marazon tor boshala marazon tor rika mazanta la bashika de marazin tor boshoko brazinta. Now the Lord is telling somebody, lady, that you have to change the way you look if you are going to get the kind of person that you desire. You have to put some more effort in your appearance. Your appearance, your smell, and you know all those things. You have to soup yourself up because you're standing in the way. I'm speaking this by the word of the Lord, by the way. So somebody who, there's this thing which you seem to be in a place where you actually can get that sort of the sort of people you desire, but you seem to be so shabby, and you do not pay enough attention to yourself. Yeah, so go and spend some money in spa and what, and saloon and so on, and get yourself some decent clothes. That's what the Lord is saying. Sheke brazante lebe kuro boshila mrazinte lebe kuro makarabazanta rabashio ora basara bakuro bazinta rabashike rezinte lebe shikuboro romo zinte lebe shika grabazante lebe silo bote. Just pray in tongues shortly. Boroshika lamrazitor boshila mrazinta albakaraza sede be kuro mrozon tor boshila mrazinta albasin rika mrazinta rabashio kuro mozin
Father, I seal this financial miracle for each and every person in the name of Jesus. I seal it in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Roma shakere brazinto rosho kum rozonto rosho. Rekem brazo. Nikile mazinta rama shoko kum rozonto rosho. Rekem azinto. Who told you don't have what it takes? I'm speaking to somebody here. Who told you don't have what it takes to get married? Now the scripture says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. Now somebody, you take a step and you get favor, and that favor will even come. I'm talking about a man in changing certain things about your finances. So you'll find yourself, your concern is, where am I going to take her? Where are we going to, you know, that sort of thing. Eh? Now, like, don't let that bother you. The favor will come. Even the provision for the function, it comes. Don't worry about it. The Lord is going to provide it supernaturally, and so will he provide it for you after, and so shall you settle down. So you have nothing to worry about in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.